We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
It starts with just a spark. One harsh word, one act of anger. Soon hatred spreads like wildfire, consuming everything in its path. It destroys trust, peace, relationships, leaves behind only ash. But it doesn't have to. We can stop the flames. The question is, are you ready to take hatred head on?
Welcome everybody to Redemption Church, Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Floyd. I'm so glad that everybody's here. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Excellent. Are you glad somebody else is here? Why don't you just point at him for a moment and say, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Yeah, you too. Even you, Rick. Glad you're here. Excellent. We are in the second week of our series, Hatred Head On. Last week we said that hatred is widespread. And it is so widespread, it is so everywhere that it's even in our heart. And we talked about extreme radical hate in our world, where a person can be radicalized to do extreme hateful things in a short amount of time. But we flipped it on its head. We said if someone could be radicalized for hatred, somebody could be radicalized for community. And we talked about extreme radical community. The answer to the hatred in our world is a brand new heart and community. And I gave you a challenge at the end. Remember, I gave you a challenge over the next weeks to be extreme and radical in community, to take constant steps in love over hate. And then in days, not weeks, but now days, hopefully you did it this last week, to that surprising anger, to stop and pray for your enemy when you feel that surprising anger. And it might feel awkward. It might feel even insincere at first, but stick with it because this kind of prayer can change your heart. So I'm just going to ask you, you don't say it out loud, don't raise your hand and tell me or text me, but I just want to know, take a little inventory. How are you doing on the last few days? Are you towards getting that goal realized? Are you towards taking hatred head on? How are you doing? Are you going to conquer this in the next few weeks? How did you do over the last few days? If you didn't do well, guess what? Over the next few days, why don't you take it on again and let's have victory. Today, I want to talk to you about the high cost of hatred and a better option. Everybody say our title with me. The high cost of hatred and a better option. I'm going to start by talking about me, all right? Here he goes. Sometimes I have experienced the high cost of hating. There was this college kid I was around when I was in college, and he was a real jerk. He had just a better than you kind of personality, and he was a show-off with a show-off car, and he is completely unlikable. And I went to church with him. And I didn't like this guy very much. And I liked him even less after he hit me with a car. One day after church, I was just standing in the parking lot talking to a group of people. There was an entire group of people. It's not like I was a lone straggler out in the middle of the parking lot. And suddenly, out of nowhere, this car hit me going about 30 miles an hour. I flipped up in the air. I was holding papers like a binder of sheet music in my hand, and that sheet music was way too important to me because I didn't drop it at all. I like held that all the way to the ground and landed on my back. I saw stars. I was wondering if I was gonna be all right, and then I hear Mr. Jerkface McMeany. I'm not great at insults. But he comes out of that car and he says, what happened? Like, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Like, what happened? Oh my gosh, it looks like I hurt your car. Like, okay, still a jerk, right? I don't care. Like, he had nothing nice to say, even after he hit me with a car. I'm to tell you, it was hard not to just hate this guy. Can I just be honest with you? In church, going to church, in the same college group with this guy, when he walked in, I just tried not to show it on my face, but inside my face, inside my heart looked a little bit like that. That's what I look like. I like that guy again. So I know the high cost of hating a person and having trouble liking that person. I also want to talk to you about the high cost of being hated. Sometimes we aren't the ones doing the hating. Sometimes we are hated, and that stinks. Who knows that stinks? I have not told this story much. There's only really one person that would ever know this story. I could go on my entire life not knowing the story, and only Alex would know this story. Alex is going to remember this story well. We are at a local Walmart market, and I see someone from way down the aisle, and suddenly my whole demeanor changed. I suddenly said, Alex, we got to go down another aisle. We got to go down another aisle. Go down another aisle. We're going to go, like we're just going down the cereal aisle. But I see a woman walk on the other side, far down on the other side of this aisle. And suddenly I'm like, I see this lady. And I'm like terrified. And I have I think this is what a panic attack feels like. This was sudden anxiety. My heart was racing, and it was because this woman hates me. This woman has lied about me. Seriously, like, people in other states called my family and said, what is this I hear about dot 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 dot? And this lady had spread those lies about me, and they threatened me as a person, they threatened this church, they threatened my ministry, they threatened my family. And if that wasn't enough, this lady had been known to like walk up behind my wife and be threatening in other stores. It was awful, right? And so, you know, they say you have fight or flight. In this moment, I had flight. I was like, there she is right there. I did not want to see her. I did not want to talk to her. I had this panic, flight, anxiety just overcome me. And I remember Alex was like, are you okay? And I was not okay. It was the high cost of being hated. I want to bring these together today. That there is a high cost when you hate someone, and there is a high cost when someone hates you. So that's a little bit of my story. Now let's talk about maybe what your story is. I want you to imagine the person you hate. And you might like push against that word and say, well, I don't know if I hate them. Okay, you can't stand them, right? The person that you get angry when they come around, when they insert themselves into the conversation. If their name shows up on your Facebook feed or on your text, you are not okay with it. Think about that person. That person you have trouble loving, that person you have trouble serving, that person you have trouble giving care to. Imagine the person now that hates you. So you've imagined the person you hate, now imagine the person that hates you. And that person, when they show up, they either give you that fight or flight. And you never know which one that's going to be sometimes. Like, it causes you to want to fight, to hate them back, to say words about them. If they're going to lie about me, well, I'm going to tell everyone I know that they're just a big liar jerk face that hits you with their car. Got to let it go. Or it causes that flight. What's in that flight? It's usually like shame, guilt, and fear. What is it? Who is that person? Who is that? It could be someone in your office. It could be someone in your school. It could be someone in your church. It could be someone from a past relationship. It could be just a random person. There is a sweet, wonderful young lady who goes to this church. And in the last year, she drove up to a coffee house. She got out of her car, minding her absolute business, and some random person came up to her and slapped her to the ground. It's a person you know. That's Ashley Enfield. Sweet, never hurt a fly. Ashley Enfield was knocked to the ground by some random person filled with hate. And to this day, I talked to Ashley just yesterday. To this day, that still affects her. There's a trauma there. They never found this guy. Why did he do this? Why does he hate me? Who else might hate me? How can I move past this kind of destruction? Being the high cost of hate. And how do you carry on with that kind of trauma? Someone, it could be someone you don't even know. Someone in the news. Someone on that Facebook page. Someone that's a celebrity. Or a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I don't take it back. All Philadelphia Eagles fans, repent today. But listen, hatred has a high cost. And there's like the aftermath of hatred, where you're consumed by it. And when hatred starts paying a toll on you, some of these things happen. Deterioration of mental health happens. Increased stress, anxiety, and depression are results of the high cost of hatred. Physical health issues. It raises cortisol in your brain and it leads to cardiovascular problems, weakened immune systems, other physical ailments. It leads to damaged relationships, destroyed friendships, romantic partnerships, and family bonds completely falling apart. Reduced productivity. Some of you are so afraid on the workplace, like it's hard to get work done. Obsessing over hatred, it can distract you from work and personal goals, leading to decreased performance. And now you're in a performance review and trying to explain yourself, and it's not so easy to explain. Emotional exhaustion, maintaining hatred requires significant emotional energy. And to keep that hatred going, it's tearing you apart. You're having trouble sleeping, and it's exhausting throughout the day. It leaves very little energy for positive experiences. How about this one? Impaired decision making. Because there's a hatred in your mind and in your heart. And it leads you to have clouded judgment. And you make your worst decisions while you're thinking about your hatred. It leads to poor choices in various aspects of life. And then finally, how about this one? Spiritual decline and moral decline. Hatred is detrimental to personal growth and spiritual well-being. Let me just tell you this. Hatred will stand between you and the God of heaven. Hatred can separate you from what God wants for you. We can see the high cost of hatred everywhere. And let's be real, Redemption Church. Let's be real. We Christians are not immune to the struggle of hatred. So, if that's the case, I wonder if Jesus talked about it. What do you think? What does Jesus say about this? What if the cost of hate is higher than we know? And what if some of our actions that we feel are justified? We're justified in our actions. We're justified in the things we say and the thoughts we have. What if some of our actions are not justified and actually evil? I can tell y'all can't wait to get into it. So let's do it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, Jesus says these words. You have heard it said, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. You have heard it said long ago. How long ago? What part of the Bible does it say, thou shalt not murder? Do not murder people. What part of the Bible? Who knows? God's top 10, right? The 10 commandments includes a command that says, do not murder people. And so Jesus is pointing back to the commandment that given to Moses, right? The 10 commandments, right? So does murder sound like something really serious if it's in the 10 commandments?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Murder is real serious. But so is hatred. Hatred is just as serious. And you might say, here's where you will push back. Here's where you might want to push back. You say, well, listen, I do hate some people, but I have never wanted to strangle someone. Good. I'm glad. Praise God. This is the church for you. That's really good. I have never wanted to kill someone. And I'm like, that's good. That's really good. But while you're saying, I will never go that far, let's look at what Jesus says next. He says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, we'll explain that in a second, stick with me. Raka is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. So Jesus, he doesn't stop at verse 21. He doesn't let us like tap out of this situation. No, he confronts us all the more. And he talks about judgment. Let me ask you, what judgment? A judgment of what sin is in the case of this verse, right? Anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. What will the final judgment be? It is a judgment of murder, is the context of verse 21. And so when he brings up judgment in verse 22, he is talking about the judgment of murder. He doesn't say, listen, you're really mad, but you haven't committed murder. He says, anyone who is angry will be subject to the judgment of murder. Is that what he says? Do you see that? So what is Jesus saying here? Jesus is not giving us a pass for the anger in our hearts. He is actually saying anger is murder when it comes to God's judgment. Anger is murder. Who's not wild about that? Am I the only one? I'm not quite wild about that because I have trouble with my anger. Who else has trouble with their anger? Guess what? Jesus knew we would have trouble with our anger. That's why he is talking about this. Do you have unresolved issues of anger? Could God judge you as a murderer? I want to tell you today, I want to just challenge us today that it is not enough to say, well, I'm angry, but you know, I haven't done anything about it. You know, I'm angry, but I haven't cursed them out to their face. I'm angry, but you know, I didn't key their car like I thought about doing or slashing their tires. I didn't do that. I didn't, you know, go lie about that. I didn't actually do the action. I want to tell you, Jesus does not give us a pass for not doing the action. He is telling us that what is in the heart still gets judged. Not just what comes out of our mouth, not just what comes out of our actions, but what is in our heart gets judged. And we are judged just the same as a person who actually did it. A person that actually did the action of murder. Anger is that big of a deal when it comes to Jesus. Who knows that that's what it's saying? Who says, yeah? All right. So that's what comes out of our heart. But what about our mouth? What comes out of our mouth? Well, he addresses that too. He says, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. Can we throw up that verse again, verse 22? Anyone who says Raca is answerable to the court. Say Raca. How dare you say that? That's insulting. Raca means empty-headed. It means to call someone stupid. It means to call someone worthless, right? And Jesus says, don't do that. To say insulting things, he addresses it. And then he goes, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. If you say Raca, you're in trouble with the court of judgment. If you say you fool, you're in trouble with the results of a guilty verdict in God's court. It is hell fire. Does this sound serious enough? Do we not take serious enough our actions and our heart? Because I think Jesus is showing us that, yeah, that could be the case. The hate in our heart and the hate in our word is judged. We don't get a pass on it. He says judgment. He says court. He says hell fire. Anger is murder. Our angry words put us in danger of hellfire. Do we take our anger seriously? Next verse. He doesn't stop. Oh, Jesus. He doesn't stop. He keeps going. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Verse 4. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Go back up verse 23 here. There you go. Thank you. How serious is Jesus about overcoming hatred and anger and becoming reconciled with other people? This is an example. The gift at the altar. What is he talking about here? Israelites would travel to the city of Jerusalem where there was the temple of God and where there was an altar. And they would bring their gift. And what was their gift? Their gift was a sacrifice. Their gift could be a wheat offering. There's all kinds of gifts they could bring. But they were commanded to bring these gifts to the Lord. And they were really important. Some of them were so important, it was the atonement sacrifice. And it would push back the sins of the people and their family. And that's a big deal. And Jesus is talking about, if you are on your way to Jerusalem, to the temple, to be right with God and to give worship to God and come before God's presence, and you have brought your gift and traveled all that way, if in that moment you think of someone that you are not right with, that you have hatred against, that you have anger against, if you think of that person, you're supposed to stop what you're doing and go back home and go find them and make it right. Now listen, they would travel hundreds of miles to get to Jerusalem. There were Jews that lived outside of Israel, and they traveled from other nations every year to go to this altar. Jesus is saying that it doesn't matter how far you've traveled. It doesn't matter what gift you've brought. It doesn't matter how you're trying to be obedient to come to the altar. If you are not right in your heart, stop what you're doing and go make things right. Jesus is saying, leave and go fix it. Some of you drove from McKinney today. Let's hear it for our McKinney people. Where you at? Some of y'all drove in from, Garland. Anybody driving from Garland? Let's hear it for Garland, right? Some people drove from Allen. Some people drove from Aubrey. No, not Aubrey. Where? Little Elm. They drove in from Little Elm, right? Who else am I missing? Anybody? Dallas. We got to pray for them. You drove in from Wiley, right? Some of y'all drove in all this way. Gosh, gas is expensive, y'all. It is. It just is. So I'm telling you, if we apply what Jesus said to us today, it means that you could have gone, gotten dressed, driven all this way, come in the church, walked, made your way all up here to your favorite seat, find your little seat. You get all ready. The music's about to start. It's like 5, 4, 3, 2. They're about to launch into your favorite worship song. Oh, your favorite preacher's about to preach. Marshall's preaching today. No, don't say that. Hurt me. No, listen. In that moment, according to Jesus, if you think of somebody that you're not right with, Jesus would have you turn around, get to your car, and go to them and make it right. What goes on in your heart is that important. The anger that is in us is that big of a problem to solve. Jesus says, go home and fix it. We are called to love. How many know that's true? Yeah. God has called us to love, but we may be living not in love. We may be living in hatred. We may be living in anything but love. Perhaps our worship means less when we hate others. Perhaps it's that I really don't want to hear what you have to sing about me. I really don't want to hear or see you lift your hands. I don't want that until it comes from a heart that loves other people. Could that maybe be what Jesus is saying? Not just to people 2,000 years ago, but to us today. And then verse 25, he says it these words. He says, it's a longer verse. I just cut these words for you. He says, settle matters quickly with your adversary. I want you to say that sentence with me out loud. Settle matters quickly with your adversary. Who's your adversary? Who is it? Settle it quickly with them. I want to talk to you real quick about a better option. We've talked about the high cost. Now let's talk about a better option. Here's the better option to get rid of anger. ASAP. ASAP. As soon as possible, get rid of it. I want to tell you that your anger is a time bomb. Nobody needs to hold on to a time bomb. It's only a matter of time till a time bomb goes boom. Right? You follow this. Your anger is just like that. Now, your pushback. Let's talk about your pushback. Because this is personal stuff here. Right? And I'm up here talking, but I don't know your whole story. Right? Right? I don't. I don't know all that they said. I don't know all that you went through. I don't know exactly what you're feeling. I don't know. So you're going to push back, and that's okay. But this is going to be your pushback. You say, but you don't know what they did to me. And that's really hard. There are people like our sweet Ashley get slapped to the ground. There are people under the sound of my voice, you were abused by someone you should have been able to trust. There are people under the sound of my voice that they did something to you that it hurts to even remember what they did. To just even remember. There are things that trigger remembering the things they did to you. And it bothers you the rest of the day into the next day and for several days just because you remember. I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it. This could also be your pushback. But I'm right. If the first one wasn't yours, this one's yours, right? But I'm right. You don't get it. They're jerk faces and they're wrong. They're McMeanies. And I am wonderful and sweet. I am basically an angel. Y'all are so blessed that I'm here. No, that could be your pushback. I am justified in my actions because they're wrong. And I'm right. Or it could be this. What about righteous anger? Yeah, I'm angry, Pastor. But what about righteous anger? Sometimes isn't it good to turn over tables in the temple like Jesus said? Sometimes wasn't God angry sometimes? And isn't God always righteous? What about righteous anger? All right, let's talk about it. Paul says it like this. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, a place called Ephesus, he writes these words, Ephesians 4:26. He says, in your anger, do not sin. So let's stop with those words right there. It is possible to have anger and not sin. Do you see that? In your anger, do not sin. There is, however, a line where your anger can turn into sin. Does everyone follow me so far? Does that seem right? Am I right? So something can happen to you that hurts you so bad that it makes you angry, and you can have that anger and not sin, right? Okay. But there is a line. You agree? What goes on? What does Paul say? Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. What is he saying? I'm telling you that it is possible to be angry and not sin, but not for very long. There is a time where anger becomes sin. And if you're carrying anger past today into tomorrow, you are sinning. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. By the end of today, you have a God in heaven and you're supposed to surrender everything to Him. By the end of today, you have a God and He makes every day, and He's going to make tomorrow. And you need to go into tomorrow with a full grace and a full mercy of that God and a full trust. Not only is that true, but you need to go into tomorrow knowing that the God who created you also created the person that's been a jerk to you. He has created the person you're mad at. He has created those persons. And you were created in the image of God, and so were they. And so there comes a moment where you have to let go of your anger, or it turns into sin. Anger, mean words, hatred, all of this stuff carries a high cost. Do you realize that it makes us murderers? There's several verses we can look at about that. More than just what Jesus just talked about in Matthew. No, Jesus is telling us that hatred turns us into murderers. If we are murderers, we are more like the devil than Jesus. Do you realize this? How does Jesus describe the devil? He describes him as a murderer from the beginning in John chapter 8, verse 44. Our hatred makes us murderers if we don't get rid of our anger by the end of the day. Can I speak real quick to marriages? Get rid of the anger. Can I get rid of some friendships? Get rid of the anger. Can I talk to some brothers and sisters? Can I talk about sisters and brothers in the Lord and brothers and sisters in the family? Get rid of anger. Talk it out. Pray together. Talk to each other on the phone. Meet each other and get past the anger before. As long as today is today, you got to work on it. It can't go into tomorrow. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Have you been holding on to anger? Is that you today? The better option is to get rid of anger as soon as possible. Get rid of it today. Why? Because it's better for you. If you will get rid of anger in your heart, it's better for you. If you get rid of anger in your heart, it's better for others. And if you get rid of anger, it will make you more like Jesus. And you can get rid of anger when? Today. What if today, some of us have carried an anger and a hatred with us for far too long? What if today was the day we let go of it? What if we woke up tomorrow and we weren't angry? What if we woke up tomorrow and we were set free from hatred? want to finish by telling you about the woman in the grocery store. Who remembers that story? Yep. Yeah, that's not an easy story to tell. Try to be open and honest with you. I'm a flawed human being, just like any of you. I want to come back to that person. In that grocery store, I had a mixture of fear and anger. And after seeing her, it was so strong in me, I knew something wasn't right. Sometimes things bubble up so much that you go, whoa, this is worse than I thought. This is one of those moments for me. Man, this is really bad for me. If I don't take care of something going on inside of me, I won't be able to serve the Lord like I need to, and I won't be able to have peace the rest of the week from seeing this person. So I prayed after seeing this person, and that very night, God gave me a dream about her, and I'm going to tell you the dream. I had this dream. It was one of those dreams you wake up, Irma, and you just knew it was a God dream. You ever have a God dream? I know what Chris Fluitt dreams are like. They're really stupid. But this dream, it like preached at me. This dream, I woke up going, what? I've got to pay attention to this. Felt the weight of God's presence behind this dream. Here's the dream. I was sitting in a diner like a Denny's. It was a booth. I was seated on one side. And on the other side of the booth was her. It was her. We were at the same table. And we were smiling. We were friends. We were reconciled. Everything was right. And then I woke up. So everybody got the dream? Y'all see that dream? I'm going to tell you, honestly, here it is, Lupita. Honest, Chris Fluitt honesty. Here it is. I told the next words of my mouth. What are these words? I said, nice try, God. That's my next words. I said that to the Lord. I promise you that's what I said, Christian. I said, nice try, God. She is not the person in my dream. I wasn't so laughing about it. It's funny now. But nice try. That is not true. Incorrect, God, because that person in the dream lies about me. That person in the dream wants me dead. That person in the dream would like to take what you've called me to do and rip it into shreds. Nice try. She is not the person in my dream. And I thought I had a really good argument. I thought this one I might actually win against God. Maybe finally I have an argument that's going to take God down in the... Not once. Never. Never. Oh, I want to tell you, I believe when God speaks to us, I believe that God can speak to us. And after I said those words to the Lord, He so sweetly and calmly asked me to do something. And He asked me to do this. Can you treat her like the person in the dream? Can you hold her in your heart? Can you pray for her like the person in your dream? She hasn't apologized. She may never apologize. She may never actually be the person in the dream. But in your heart, can you treat her like the person in your dream? And I was like, oh, he did it again. His arguments, there's just no arguing with God. There's no arguing with God. I have tried many times. I probably will try again. He wins, Bill. He wins. Yeah. And so I just said, yes, God, I'm going to try. And I started to pray for her. And I started to pray like she was the person in that dream. Even though she's not my friend, she's actually my enemy. Jesus, you told me to pray for my enemies. So now I'm not going to pray for her like she's my enemy. I'm going to pray for her like she's my friend, the person, the vision you gave of me in my dream. And I started to pray for her and I felt like anger. I felt kind of like brokenness break off of my heart. I felt anxiety go away. I felt panic go away. And I realized God wants me, if I ever see her again, no matter the situation, I am to love her like Jesus loves her. Because the truth is, Jesus, I've always sat across from him and been the enemy. Do you get this? I've always been the one that messes up on the other side of the table from Jesus. But he has always treated me with grace. He's always treated me with mercy. And he's asking me to do that. I'm telling you, let me just be real. Let's some more real Christmas. Like, I can come off looking real spiritual tree, but here, let's all really realize this. I need the grace of God more than any of you. So here it is. I don't know what I'm going to feel in my heart the next time I see this person. I might go, Alex, I hope you're there. I'll need your help. Take me down the next cereal aisle. I don't know how I'll actually respond, but I know what I'm supposed to do. And I'm supposed to treat her with the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. I pray for her as a friend, and I pray for myself. I forgive her. And let me tell you one more thing. This is really important. I think that you don't know this. This is going to help you. Sometimes I have to forgive people over and over and over again. Wave your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Come on. Come on. There's been people I've forgiven, and then I think about what they did again, like years later, and I get angry again, and the Lord just, you let go of that. What are you doing with that anger in your heart? And again, why are you having angry thoughts again? And I'll have to forgive them again. I'll have to repent again. Even people that did me wrong and I didn't do them wrong, I have to repent of my anger. I can't carry it into tomorrow. I gotta let go of it. When anger comes into my heart and mind, I have to surrender it again. I repent. I am the biggest repentantest fool you've ever met. I repent, man. You want to know what prayer I pray every morning? I start by doing this. I declare who God is in my prayer. God, you're so wonderful. God, you're so holy. God, you're so faithful. And I spend some moments declaring who he is, and then I just declare who I am. And when you declare who God is, and then you declare who you are. You are not on the same level, friend. You are not on the same level. And so then I repent. And so I repent every day, if not once, multiple times. I ask God to forgive me, to put me on the right path, because this brain doesn't do great sometimes, and this heart doesn't do great sometimes. And these desires of this flesh do not do great sometimes. So I have to repent. And I do it often. I do it often. I want to tell you, start your day by declaring who God is. And then follow it up with declaring who you are. And that will always bring you to a place of repent. And when you declare who you are and confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you. And he rises you up to be in his presence. He removes everything that's separating you. So God, one more time, I pray for her today. Lord, help her. God, you know her. And you love her. And you're crazy about her. God, I forgive her again. And I treat her with grace. In Jesus' name. Who's your person? Real quick, we'll close your eyes. Pray for them. Father, give your grace to them. Give your mercy to that person, to that knucklehead in my life, to the jerk face. God, please give them grace. Please give them mercy. Can we all stand in this place? I want to give you a call to action. I want you to do these things. It's a challenge. Weeks from now, I want you to be extreme and radical in community. Work on that. Be extreme and radical. Go further than you ever have in community. Have conversations you wouldn't normally have. You know how I kind of just ripped open all my brokenness before you? Do that. Do that with brothers and sisters. Don't act like you have it all together for a moment. Do that. That's radical, extreme community. And here's another one. I'm going to add this. Join a connect group. We have like 1 month to go in connect groups for this year. If you've not been a part of a connect group, as your pastor, I'm asking you, before today, before this year is over, go to at least one connect group. Who heard me? Wave at me if you heard me. I want you to do that. If you've not been a part of a connect group, as a pastor, yes, I am talking to you. I am not just talking to someone. No, if you've not been a part of a connect group, before today, this year is over, join a connect group for at least one session. We've got them coming up this week. We have meetings on Tuesday, on Wednesday, and on Thursday online. So go, and a Friday. We've got some young adults on Friday. They've been knocking it out of the park. Go be a part of it. All right? Now, days from now, be free from the high cost of hatred. In fact, I believe it could happen tomorrow that you wake up and you're free from it. That you don't hold on to your anger past sunset. That it leaves you. And that means that you're free from hating others. And that means you're free from being hated by others. And that hold that that's happened, held over you. Sweet people, wonderful people in this place. You have been hated by people. You can be set free from it. And you've been tortured and haunted with your thoughts about other people that are hateful. You can be free from them over the next few days. I want that to be your testimony. When it is your testimony, I want to hear your testimony. So come tell me about it. And then right now, here it is. Get rid of anger. ASAP. Get rid of it. That might mean you come to this altar and pray. That might mean you get a little old-fashioned and just like bow down and kneel before God and you just confess to Him. You declare who He is and then you declare who you are and you get into that mode of repentance. Do it. And maybe it's this. I give you permission. Leave your gift at the altar. Go to that person and make it right. Make it right. We're not talking about winning an argument. There are some people you will never win the argument about. Do you get this? I'm not talking about they ask for your forgiveness and they admit that they did wrong by you. No, that you go to them and say, hey, whatever's been between us, I'm not okay with it being between us. And you make it right. Some of us, I feel this. Some of us, that person's dead. And we can't call them. We can't go and see them. Some people, you've been hurt by someone who is now in the grave. You know what? That person too. You need to have a moment where you release that anger. Yeah. And it needs to be as soon as possible. Why not tonight? And then bring your need to God. If you've got a need in this place, you know you're supposed to be praying about that. I am so sad to see people with needs just like twiddle their thumbs at the end of service and go, okay, we went to church, we're going to go home. No, God's plan is for you to leave this place healed, set free, delivered with purpose and passion and a brand new life, full life, overflowing in you. That's God's plan for you. I want that for you. These altars are open right now. Let's pray. Come on, Dream Team, let's reach out to God. Let's find someone to pray with. Let's pray for others. Let's repent. Let's set God free to work over the next few moments. Let's worship Him and be close to Him. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for all my friends watching and listening online. I pray for them, Lord, that You would deliver them from that hatred, God. Lord, do not let the sun go down on our anger. Friend, God, release it. Confess it. Repent to the Lord. Ask God to take it away. Ask God to take away your hatred for others and ask God to help you in the situation where you're hated by someone else. Come on, ask God to do it. God wants to do it in your life and He's going to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, church, let's talk to God. Let's reach out to Him in this place. I want some people to pray with. I want to see God do brand new things in our life. In Jesus' name.
For more information about redemption, look us up online at redemptionplano.com. We want to hear more from you. So be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or even our anonymous text line at 469-651-1178. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.